Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the Word with Paul Mensah Wood.
Thank God for everyone's life. It's for us, we've given our lives to God, number one, and that's what we want an endeavor for all of us to do. But it's a joy to serve people. That's our heart. Every time we hear someone healed, someone's faced a difficult situation, they needed a job, they needed something, God came through for them, or they went out and their lives also made an impact on somebody else, that's the joy. That's the joy. Or you hear the word of God and you say, this is the word that I needed for today. And thank you for sharing the word of God. It's ministered to me. Or I'm growing closer in my walk with God. And that's the price. That's the price. And so thank you so much for coming out. And I pray that as you have given, may God multiply it back to you many, 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 many fold. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Okay, thank you so much again for coming out. When I was praying that God, I said, God, what should I tell your people this weekend? I heard the word rest. And so I went in that direction. One of the reasons why Jesus Christ came is to give us rest. Let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 2 from verse 1 to 3. Genesis chapter 2 verse 1 to 3. Thank you, Lord. Last week, we studied about the blessing. If you missed it, please go to the website. Listen to it over and over and over and over and over again till you get it. So it gets inside you to where when you wake up at night, you shake yourself and say, I am blessed. And today I will be a blessing. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Thank you, Lord. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. I guess let me switch here. Genesis chapter 2. Thank you, Lord. Okay, it says, thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. God created everything. God created man. And when he finished it, he ended his work and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then he blessed the seventh day. You see, he didn't rest because he was tired. No, God never sleeps, God never slumbers, God never gets tired. He rested because from a sense of accomplishment, I've created everything, I've blessed the man with the same blessing that I have, and I've empowered him to go and replenish the earth and be a blessing. And so God rested from all that he had done. But that rest didn't last very long. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, God went back to work and put it together, a plan in motion to restore man back to himself. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And so one of the, and all through, from that standpoint, I mean, the only time, again, we see the Sabbath introduced was when the children of Israel, they were given the commandment. And even then, it was to teach them God's sense of ownership of them. But all through, one of the things that you will see this later, to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 1, God blessed the day he rested. Now put that together with Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Thank you, Lord. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, notice the phrase, a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, notice, the gospel was preached, this was referring to the children of Israel, was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. You see, he's saying that there's a rest that remains. Verse 3 says, for we who have believed do enter that rest, as he said, As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although, notice the phrase, the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Verse 4, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way. God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as he had been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Verse 10, notice, for he who has entered his rest has ceased from his work as God did his. Verse 11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He's saying that there remains a rest for you and I. In Christ Jesus, there is a rest that God has prepared for you and I to enter in. But he's saying that that same gospel or that same good news was what was preached to the children of Israel. And they did not enter in because of unbelief. They did not enter in. You see, God said he was taking them to a land that was so good, a land that was flowing with milk and honey. But these people disobeyed God. These people would not obey God. These people would not listen to God. And so he's saying that they did not enter the rest that I had prepared for them. You see, we discovered last week that God's original intent was for that Garden of Eden, for it to be all over the earth. But so he's trying to get these people as close as possible to it, but they did not enter into that rest. But he's saying that you and I, in Christ Jesus, there is a place of rest that has been prepared for us. When God sees from his works, he expected that that blessing will produce and fill the whole earth. In the same way, when we enter the blessing of God, when we believe the blessing of God, we are expecting that that blessing will produce in our lives. If you believe that, say amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And so notice what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Thank you, Lord. We'll see some nuggets here. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He came to give us rest. Thank you, Lord. He says, Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me, all ye that labor, all ye that labor, and I will give you rest. I like the way the message puts it. Message translates, it says, are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion. Come to me. Get away with me. And you will recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Work with me. And work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. Come and learn of me. Come unto me. You see, that word labor there in the Greek is kopaio. It's different. It means to toil. You see, that labor is different from work. Because when Jesus Christ came, he was continually working. He said, my Father has been working till now, and I also work. He was talking about toiling in life. A heavy burden on you. Trying on your own to do life on your own terms. So he's saying, if you are laboring, if you are toiling, come unto me. The reason why that I came is that you may find rest. In this season, I don't know the area of your life where there is stress, where there may be toil, but I've come to announce to you by the word of the Lord this morning that there is rest in Jesus. There is real rest in Jesus. Come unto me, he said. Oh, come unto me, for a believer means something different. For an unbeliever, for someone who doesn't believe in Jesus, he will say, come unto me so you will find life. That is the first step that they need to take. But for somebody who is a believer in Christ Jesus, when he says, come unto me and I'll give you rest, it's an invitation to step out with him. Remember Peter, he was in the boat and Jesus said, come. You are to step out into the place that I have for you. And then he says, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. That means come under a new management. Let me be your Lord. Let me be the one that you choose to serve. You see, he's talking about how to access the rest now. The rest has already been provided. The rest is already yours. I like how the Amplified puts Hebrews chapter 4. How he reads, verse 11 says that, Hebrews 4:11, the Amplified, classic Amplified, says, let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter that rest of God. Notice, to know and experience it for ourselves. The rest is already there. We who are believers have already entered into it. But he's saying that, strive to experience it for yourself. And how do you do it? He said that no one may fall or perish by the same kind of unbelief and disobedience. One of the things he's saying is, take my yoke upon you. To enjoy that rest, make a decision, make a choice. You are going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You are going to serve Almighty God. He is going to be your Lord. He is going to have a say in everything. You see, Jesus, when he came, he made a choice that he was going to obey and serve the Father. So to, number one, to enter the rest that we are talking about here, he says, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. Let's look at a company of people in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 3. Let's see what they did. That same process is stated there as well. Make a decision, make a choice. Jesus gave his life. I give my life to him. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Thank you, Lord. Verse 3 to 5 first. He says, for a long time, Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their trouble they turned to the Lord God of Israel, notice, and sought him, he was found by them. Verse 5 says, and in those times there was no peace to the one who went out, nor to the one who came in. But great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the land. And then verse 12. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It says, then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers. Notice, with all their heart and with all their souls. And whoever will not seek the Lord God of Israel was to be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Verse 14, then they took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting and trumpet and ram's horns. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their soul. And he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest around. These people were in turmoil. There was no teaching priest. They were without law. They had gone away from a mighty God. And there was no peace in the land. There was no peace to the one who went and the one who came in. There was great turmoil on all the inhabitants of the land. But when Asa, the king, heard the words of the prophet talking about their returning to God, oh, they made a covenant that God, you are the one that we will serve. Or in other words, like Jesus said, we are taking your yoke upon us. You are the one that we will serve with all our soul, with all our heart, with our everything. We surrender our lives completely to you. We will not have any other God beside you. We will serve you and do what you tell us to do. Thank you, Lord. In their trouble, when they turned to the Lord God of Israel, verse 4, and sought him, he was found by them. There is nothing like seeking God and not finding him. Jesus said, when we seek him, we will find him. When we seek the Lord, we will find him. So to enjoy the rest that he provided for us, to experience it for ourselves, we must make a decision that we surrender our lives totally to him. We are under a new law. We are under a new management. We are under a new king. He is the one that we will serve. And what was the result? What was the result? God and the Lord gave them rest all around. You want to experience the rest that has already been provided? Make a complete surrender to the Lord. And then verse 19 says, and there was no war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. For 20 years after they made that covenant, after they made that choice to serve the living God, there was no more war in the land. They enjoyed rest all around. This morning, oh, I don't know the turmoil in your life, the war in your life, but as you make a choice, as you make a decision to serve the Lord, may that war in your business, in your family, in any area of your life, may it cease and may you experience rest all around. Amen. If that's you, say a big amen. Amen. Oh, glory be to the name of the Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Make a choice, make a decision that you will serve the Lord. And another point that he says is, glory be to the name of the Lord. He says, take my yoke upon me and learn of me. That means let me be your teacher. Let me be your example. He says, for I am meek and lowly in heart. To enter that rest as well, you must walk in meekness. Meekness, 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 meekness. Humble yourself. And it's closely linked to humility. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And what are the benefits of us walking in humility? Humbling ourselves under him. Learning of him. Because, it's, I mean, in Hosea 4:6, it talks about the fact that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Make him your example. Look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, because you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And right. Jesus is the only way into that rest. Jesus is the only way into that rest. What will happen when we make a choice, when we make a decision that we will walk in meekness. We will walk in meekness. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of God. Notice some of the benefits that he outlines here. Psalm 22, verse 26. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 22, 26. What are the benefits of walking in meekness? He says, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. Your heart shall live forever. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. Notice what he says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Matthew 5, verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. And notice also Psalm 37, verse 11. All these benefits await the one who endeavors to walk in meekness before God. He repeats it again, Psalm 37, verse 11. He says, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The meek shall inherit the earth. God has filled the earth with his blessings. God has filled the earth with his riches. God has filled the earth with his blessings, but it takes meekness to enjoy all that God has prepared for us. Come on. Oh, you see, when James 4:6 talked about the fact that God resists the proud. God resists the proud. God resists the proud. If God is resisting you, it's an issue. If demons are resisting you, we know that you have authority to resist them, to resist them and to tell them to get out of your affairs. But if God is resisting you because you refuse to humble yourself under his mighty hand, that's a big deal. If an angel is standing in your way, remember the Balaam the prophet. If an angel is standing in your way and you are saying, in the name of Jesus, an angel of God now, in the name of Jesus, get out of my way. You say, God sent me. You refuse to humble yourself. You refuse to be meek. God, I'm not going anywhere. That name won't work in this case. So he says, the meek shall inherit the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. It's one of the meekest people that walked on the earth. When you walk in meekness as well, God reveals himself to us. God reveals himself to us. One of the meekest people that walked on the earth was Moses. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, he describes him. He says that Moses was the meekest man on the earth. Now, the man Moses was very meek. Or humble, the other translation said. Above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And this Moses was the one that wrote the first five books. He had a marvelous revelation from God. Right from creation. The scientists have tried a lot, but they have not been able to disprove it. He wasn't there. Notice what he says about him in Psalm 103, verse 7. Psalm 103, verse 7. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 103, verse 7. It takes meekness to access what God has for us. He says, he made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. All the children of Israel saw where the acts. But the meekest man who was on the earth had access to the ways of God. And by having access to the ways of God, he was working with God and miracles were being produced. Come on. Notice what he says about him in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 7. This was before his life ended. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 7. The meekest man that was on the earth. Thank you, Lord. He says, Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. Verse 10 says, but since then, there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Whom the Lord knew face to face. He walked in meekness. Oh, no wonder Jesus said, learn of me. I am meek. Learn that of me. And when you encounter me, oh, your walls will cease. You will experience rest all around. Oh, he knew the ways of God. He knew God face to face. He had encounters with God. Because why? He was one of the most meekest people. So to enter his rest, to inherit what God has for us. Oh, Jesus has come to provide that rest for us. But we must be people that walk in humility, in meekness. God, what are you revealing to me? How can I yield my life to you to serve you? Oh, God, you only had one child. You gave him up. I give up my life to you, Lord. Let my life make a difference. The Bible says that Jesus became obedient even to the death on the cross. Wherefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the mention of that name, every knee bows of beings in heaven, of beings on earth, and beings under the earth. Thank you, Lord. Oh, as we make a choice, in this season, when we remember the coming of Jesus, there is rest provided for us. There is rest provided for us in him. And as we make a decision to serve him with our all, with our everything, may we experience that rest in our life. If that's you, say amen. Amen. And then another thing also. Notice he says that faith is involved. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, number three, it takes faith to access the rest of God. Hebrews chapter 4, let's go back to where we started. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel, you see, the gospel simply means good news, was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they had did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who had them. They did not believe God. They disobeyed God. In other places, he talks about disobedience. They did not enter in. So it takes faith and obedience to enter. To enter the rest that God has for us. The rest that God has prepared for us. The rest that God has prepared for us. You see, when we encounter God, when we encounter Jesus, he says, come and learn of me, walk with me, and I will give you real rest. I will give you real rest. I will take over your battles. I will take over your battles. Oh, when Moses got to the Red Sea, in some cases, in some places, in Joshua, he said, you don't need to fight. You stand still. They don't need to fight these Egyptians. The Egyptians that you see today, I will take over your battles. You will see them no more and forever. Judges chapter 3, verse 9 to 11. Thank you, Lord. Judges, when we encounter God, that is his plan, that we enter his rest. That we enter his rest. That we enter his rest. Judges chapter 3, verse 9. Please, thank you, Lord. He says, then the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. The Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel, who delivered them, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed over Cushan-Rishathaim. So the land had rest for 40 years. Then Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. The Spirit of God came upon this child. These people were, again, they are departed from God. But the Spirit of God came on this man, and he went out to war, and the Lord delivered their enemies into his hands. Oh, my Lord, are you ready for this? Jesus, this person is dead for a period of time. He died. We have Jesus. We don't serve a dead God. He came to deliver us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of God. And he takes over our battles. He translated us from the dominion of Satan. He delivered us from the dominion of Satan. And as we stay with him, as we walk with him, in the mighty name of Jesus, he will never die again. He is ever alive to fight our battles for us and cause us to walk in his rest. Oh, if you believe that, say amen. Amen. Oh, this morning, any area of your life, in your family, in your health, in your business, in any area of your life, that where there is war, in the mighty name of Jesus, thank you that we have a champion. Thank you that we have Jesus. Thank you that he's not dead. He is alive. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. May he take over your battles in Jesus' mighty name. May he take over your battles. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory. Oh, my Lord and my God. Scientists tell us, all my biology, I sold it for math. But I gave it over for math. But they tell us that in our blood, there's something that they call lymphocyte. And when disease tries to take over, come into our body, these lymphocytes go and wage a war against that disease. At some point, when they say the more the war is being fought, the hotter your body gets. So at some point, if they start losing the battle, then God has to step in. God has to step in. Oh, there may be a war in your health. But I can assure you, there is rest in Jesus. One of the reasons why Jesus Christ came was to take our sickness and our infirmity. Oh, 1 Peter 2:24 talks about the fact that he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. And by his stripes, we were healed. Not going to be. We were already healed. There is rest prepared for you in Jesus. But how do you enter in? Number one, you must be willing to give your life totally to him. Number two, you must walk in meekness. Number three, you must walk by faith and not by sight. Believe the word of God. Believe what God says. He says, let us be diligent. Hebrews 4:11. Let us be diligent. The other translation says, let us labor. That's where the work is. Let us labor in the word. Then he goes on to verse 12 to say that the word of God is quick and powerful. So he ties our diligence to the word of God. Get in that word. Let that word get in you. Oh, and see that Jesus was sent by God to pay the ultimate price for you. The enemy, Satan, was our arch enemy. We were under his dominion, but Jesus Christ came and destroyed him. Hebrews 14 says that he destroyed him. Another translation says he paralyzed him that had the power of death. Oh, he's defeated him for us. And he's made us victorious. He's made us conquerors. In the mighty name of Jesus, enter the rest. Strive to enter the rest. God, that which you have for me in this year, God, which you have for me for next year, God, which you have planned for my life, that is what I desire to pursue, and that is what I desire to fulfill. I refuse to leave anything on the table. Remember the classic Psalm 23, it says, he prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. What's on the table? That's what I'm interested in. Oh, thank God. Healing is the children's bread. There's bread on the table. Pass me some, please. There is strength available. There is real rest. And so I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you enter the rest. You see, when God created in the beginning and he entered his rest, what he was expecting was the blessing will go to work. What he has spoken will go to work. When we enter that rest, we believe what God has said and that his word will go to work on our behalf. We rest in his word. We rest in him. My warfare is accomplished. My warfare is done. All I have to do is to learn of Jesus, is to follow his example closely, walk in his footsteps. Whatever he tells me to do, that's what I'm going to do. I serve him all the days of my life. I am dedicated and committed to him. These people made a decision to seek him with their whole heart and with their whole soul. May that be our decision today. And we'll come back to that classic text, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first.
Let him be your first and your all. The kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all the other things that people are chasing after, you won't diminish. It will be added to you. But make that choice to seek me first. And as you do that, I see, like he said, he says, an abundance of peace. An abundance of peace. I see you entering his rest. I said, I see you entering his rest. 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 If thus you say a big amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Seeing then that a rest has been prepared for us, we who believe have entered into that rest. But we want to experience it in our lives. This is the way to do it. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Let's close our eyes this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Talk to God this morning. Thank you, Lord. Jesus Christ came that burden may be rolled away. Ah, he's not dead. He's alive. Oh, he's not dead. He's alive. He knows where you are. He knows where you are. And he knows where you are. His plans for you are of good and not evil. Plans to bring you to an expected end. Plans to bring you to an expected end. Talk to him. Make a fresh commitment to him that, Lord, I thank you. Oh, for God so loved the world that he gave. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have the life of God. And so, Lord, we give our lives to you that others may experience you as well. That we may experience, give our very best to you. That we may experience your best and help others to do the same. They are rewards in sevenfold. Make a fresh commitment. God has only one. He gave him up. You have only one life. Give it to God. Let him do something with it. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. This morning, if you are listening to us online or watching us online, you are here and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Oh, this rest that I'm talking about, you say there is no one in my life. I don't know any peace. The Bible says that there is no peace to the wicked. There is no peace to the wicked. Real peace and real rest is found in God. Oh, if you want to be, just say, Lord Jesus, I'll get you. I believe. I confess you as my Lord. And if you believe it, just say, Lord Jesus, take me back. Lord Jesus, take me back. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of God. Let's all sing this together this morning. Lord, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for real rest that is in Jesus. Help me to walk in the fullness of this rest. Help me to walk in the fullness of this rest. In the name of Jesus, come the storm. Give him praise and glory this morning. Give him praise.
according to his will. These are sisters, brothers, and the Lord crowns the year with his goodness and his blood drop down abundantly. May you experience the goodness of the Lord. I declare in the mighty name of Jesus, may you experience rest. From today, enjoy it in your life. If that's you, say amen.
We trust this podcast was a blessing. Subscribe for more messages like these. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@wordmissionchurchinternational.org. We will love to equip you in daily walk, so sign up for daily devotionals and encouragement at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. You may reach us at 719-235-5535 or write us at P.O. Box 15883, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80935.